You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
We're talking about insurance today, but don't let that concern you. I know it's a boring topic. It's just like puts people to sleep, but I guarantee you, you're going to learn something today. Because it's an important topic, number one. And number two, it's a huge revenue opportunity for MSPs out there. And I think that there are a ton of MSPs who are missing this opportunity as a tactic to have conversations with their customers, as well as to help them learn more about how they can protect themselves better. And right now, as we are dealing, you know, with all this mess over in Ukraine and the looming and increasing threats of cyber attack as a response from, you know, Russia, this is probably no better time to talk about insurance, and specifically an article, and I'll post the link here in the show notes so you guys can read it for yourself. And it's a decent article. It came out last month, so it's a little dated, and I think we may have even covered it in the MSP News newsletter if you are a subscriber to that. If you're not, you should definitely sign up today, because it's jam-packed full of information that every MSP professional ought to be receiving. And it comes out 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and it's literally just like a hit list of all the relevant things that you in managed services need to be aware of, at least from a high-level perspective. So the title of this article that I'll be posting here is called Five Reasons Companies Are Denied Cybersecurity Insurance. And it's a great opportunity to talk about the role of the MSP in helping their customers, an increasing number of whom are wanting to obtain cybersecurity insurance coverage, or are at risk of having their existing cybersecurity policy canceled, or the existing cybersecurity policy premium is going up and they're unsure about why they're spending more and more money on their cyber insurance policy. We're going to talk about all of those issues. We're going to give you some very good practical guidance on how to respond and even to generate some educational moments, shall we say, to help those customers be better prepared for a potential cyber attack. So let's just dive right in. And I'm going to go through each of these pretty quickly, because I'm going to talk about each of them as they relate to what you as an MSP ought to be doing, or might, what you should be thinking about doing. Not everyone has to do this, because there's different levels of managed services, and obviously not all of them relate specifically to security or even to these types of things. But to the general practitioners, where you are the IT shop for your customers, that most of all of these are going to apply to you. Number one, inability to demonstrate proper security measures are in place. Let's just call this generically. They can't prove anything, right? I you know, you've heard the term, right? When you were in grade school and your teacher would ask you to do math problems, and you'd come up with the answer, and if you did that, the teacher would say, well, let me see your work. And if you couldn't, then the thought there was, well, did you cheat? I need to know that you know how to come up with this answer, not just that you came up with the answer. And that's very, very much what this first section is talking about. This first issue is, can managed services clients really demonstrate what their internal security measures are? And for most of the smaller, medium-sized organizations out there in the world who don't have anything close to a full-time IT department, it's most likely going to be their MSP. And that in and of itself, that's the starting point of a fantastic, and I hate to say it, but a probably missed opportunity for most MSPs practicing today, to talk to their customers and say, are you getting cyber insurance? Do you have it today? If you don't, you might want to think about it. But if you do have it, let's talk about how we can help you, A, lower your premiums, or B, and B, make the underwriting process a lot easier for you. Because increasingly what we're seeing is there are insurance carriers who are putting out a lot of, I'll call random but good, cybersecurity policies and controls and presenting them to the customer and saying, do you have these? And they're good. I say random because they're not part of any cohesive cyber strategy, right? That's not the job of the insurance industry. They don't know anything about cyber. They really don't. And I'm not saying that to be mean. They're not cyber people. They don't understand cyber other than, you know, what they've read. And so they cobble together disparate random controls and say, hey, are you doing multi-factor authentication? You are? Great. Check. Move on to the next one. Are you backing up your data so that if there's a ransomware, we can, you know, maybe restore your system quickly? You do? Great. Check. Move on. And they go through these things trying to figure out how risky of an organization are you so that they can appropriately, you know, apply that risk profile to their whatever their calculus is and come up with a premium. And it's no different than what they would do if you were, you know, they do it all the time in automobile, right, policies, except that they have a ton more data for auto policies than they do for cyber right now. But if you look at the auto industry, they are pretty darn accurate when it comes to, all right, if you're a male and you are 16 years of age to 24 years of age, you're going to be in a really high risk, driver pool, and therefore your premiums for that person being insured is going to be higher than, let's say, a 50-year-old female. They use those types of demographics, those markers, you know, age, your sex, your zip code, where you live, the type of car you have, obviously your driving history. I've even started to receive, from our auto insurance carrier, questions I've never had before. Things like, have you taken a defensive driving course in the last 2 or 3 years? I've never been asked that before, but it's a good question. It's relevant. I get why they're asking me. And so this is just part of our life now with cyber. And so you need to have this conversation with your customers, because if they can't demonstrate all the security, all the good things you do for them as an MSP, that's you're missing the boat, and they're missing the boat. Because I guarantee you they're starting, especially the ones that have or want to get cyber coverage, they're having these conversations with some insurance broker who knows, compared to you as an MSP, next to nothing. And what the last thing you want is a uneducated in the world and the arts of cyber defense, a broker giving guidance to a customer where that could come into conflict with the things that you're doing for them today. Or worse still, have a broker that says, well, you know, let me give you a name of somebody else, you know, Joe's Brick Fix Shop down the street, they can do some stuff for you. You know, not a good outcome by any stretch. So the ability to document, the ability to list and articulate the security steps taking place through the managed services relationship that, you have with that customer, with all your customers, is incredibly vital. It's going to be important for many other reasons, but particularly for that customer getting and maintaining cyber security insurance. Number two, the lack of preventative security measures. So, if I was reading this 20 years ago, and it really doesn't matter, it's the same today, but I'm making a point. 20 years ago, we would have looked at this and said, wow, well, the lack of preventative security measures is the very definition of proactive in managed services. That's what differentiates MSPs from every other type of IT provider out there. You have proactive managed services and you have everybody else. And I hate to be so stark, but that's really the way this is. I mean, if you are reactive, you are not preventing security anything. Performance, availability, uptime, whatever you want to call it. If you are a reactive or a break-fix provider, time and materials provider, you are not preventing anything. Because by definition, you are not proactively looking for and taking measures to be able to say, this is a likely area of attack. Let's do something here. Let's patch here. Let's update here. Let's monitor here. And those are just things that break-fix providers don't do. And that's fine. There are companies that are perfectly happy just being consultative companies. There's a very fast-growing business in the realm of forensics, right? Who are, you know, kind of after breach specialists who come in and look at things and figure out how did it happen, you know, what was the damage, things like that. And those companies really are not touting themselves to be anything, you know, other than forensics people. But they're not doing managed services, and for a variety of reasons, they shouldn't be. But if you are a real MSP, then you ought to be doing a lot that is preventing future security issues from impacting your customers. Number three, inadequate endpoint security. Well, this is a no-brainer for me, and you know, most of you, you veterans out there, you MSP veterans, I should say, this is not a surprise. You need to have a really firm understanding of endpoint security, endpoint, how the endpoints are distributed, operating, what level of access they have, what security measures you have in place for those on behalf of your customers. Because in the last 2 years, the endpoint has become the edge of the perimeter for most companies on the planet. And there are so many stories that I'm seeing now about remote work being a major factor for customers and MSPs. And it's true. It's still an issue even here in the early stage of 2022. It's still a problem. It's still an issue that needs to be addressed. It's a problem that needs to be solved. And it's going to directly impact the cost that you pay for a cyber policy. Because if you're an organization who in early 2020 was, you know, like everybody else, told, you know, go home, don't come to work, can't come to work, remote work is now what you're doing, and you had no means of protecting those users and those endpoints that they were using to connect to the network and to the company data systems, you know, those are exactly the reasons why the cyber bad guys are out there doing what they're doing, because there was a big lag in deploying remote workers and not securing those endpoints. And I'm not saying that the fault is the MSP. I'm saying that the fault is the owners of those endpoints themselves. The organizations are ultimately responsible. And if the MSP didn't bring that up as an option, then, you know, shame on them. But you know, the MSP can only bring it up and advise and encourage you to do something. Ultimately, the responsibility rests with you as an organization. Number four is something that does equally apply to both customer and MSP alike, because we've seen really concrete examples of this over the last 12 plus months. And that is number four, weak security measures within the supply chain. I don't want to go over all the MSP supply chain issues we've had. Everybody knows about them. We've addressed them as a profession. We are continuing to address them and to monitor this as a part of our professional responsibility. But this also extends to the customers. And the customers don't only have one supply chain vendor, which is an MSP. They have multiple supply chain vendors. They have people, digital and physical, you know, who are constantly circling and coming into their network and gaining access to sensitive areas, sensitive information that sometimes the MSP doesn't have visibility into. Right, the MSP is not the ruler of all things digital or all things in their customers. I mean, yes, they are from an IT perspective in some cases, but even in those cases where the MSP is the IT department, that doesn't mean that MSP influences or controls all other aspects, all other non-IT aspects of that company. And there are a variety of vendors, supply chain vendors, that could conceivably impact the security of a customer. I'll give you one example that has been tried multiple times successfully over the last 10 years. HVAC companies. HVAC companies have a unique amount of access to facilities, to large buildings, to IT systems, you know, especially if it's a smarter, you know, HVAC system. You know, that's one of many, many examples of supply chain vendors that may not come under the management responsibility of an MSP to safeguard. So again, it's another example of the MSP, you know, being well advised to have a conversation with their customers to figure out, well, look, you have these other vendors over here. If we're not monitoring them, who is? Do you want us to? Are we capable of monitoring them? If we're not, then who in your team is capable of doing that? And those are really important questions to have. And by the way, you know, the insurance companies at least know this, which is they understand supply chain risk. They understand the role that supply chain vendors have in the attack surface vector of cyber thieves, cyber criminals. And those are well known in the underworld. And the insurance folks know about it now, and they're concerned about it, as they should. And I think you as MSPs, again, have just an incredible opportunity here to get out in front of this and have really important, vital conversations with your customers. Number five, and this is a fantastic, this is just an easy thing. And I actually think a lot of MSPs are doing this quite effectively. I think more needs to be done, but that is number five, poor internal cybersecurity training and awareness. Now, I know that there are a lot of, you know, vendors out there like KnowBe4 and a handful of others. I don't mean to be leaving anyone off any list, but a lot of them have been making strides within the IT channel, within MSPs specifically, to get cyber training, security training downstream to customers on an ongoing basis. I don't think that that's ever going to change. It shouldn't ever change. It's good because it means that the MSP doesn't need to be in the business of creating curriculum content, right? That's not what you guys do. But it does mean that you can have a steady source of educational material that you can give to your customers that will have an impact on their overall cybersecurity status. And it will have an impact undoubtedly on their cyber insurance. This training could be a variety of training. It could be, hey, this is what to look for in an email, right? In phishing attacks, very common low-hanging fruit for cyber attacks. But also, social engineering, the more analog, non-digital elements that are still employed today for carrying out cyber attacks. Training around passwords and why not to, why strong passwords are important, or why multi-factor authentication is important. Some of these things that we in the industry take for granted because they're fairly straightforward, but they may not be readily understood by the non-technical user who nevertheless should be using these and employing these tactics, right? That's what we're really getting at. It's an opportunity, no doubt. If you're not doing cyber education, security training, awareness with your customers, big, big opportunity there for the foreseeable future, and I'm talking about. So I look at this article and I say, it wasn't aimed at MSPs, but certainly some of these do impact MSPs and their own challenges within the cybersecurity insurance realm. And if you are coming down to MSP World in a few weeks at the end of the month in Orlando, where we've done this event in that city for so many years, and we're just really thankful and looking forward to coming back in person and seeing everybody again. We're actually going to be hosting a session on this very topic of how does the cyber insurance industry look at and evaluate MSPs? And also, you're going to get some insights on how they evaluate customers, your customers. And if you can put those two things together, I am telling you, you have a winning sales marketing strategy for the foreseeable couple of years on how to successfully generate educational moments with your customers, with your prospects, that can do a lot of good and will be good business to boot. And for so many of you out there who have struggled with sales and marketing, and you say, I don't understand how to sell, I don't understand how to market, start by looking at this article that I'm going to post here, looking at each of these five areas, and develop talking points, blog posts, whatever content you can, and implement these areas into your sales and marketing for your practice. And I will be shocked if it doesn't have a positive and somewhat immediate impact. And you can employ it with both existing managed services customers, and you can also do it for new customers, prospects. All of these items could be, recruitment techniques to talk to people you currently don't have or have a business relationship with, to say, look, we can help you with endpoint security. We can help you answer and respond to your cyber insurance policy questionnaire. We can help you lower your premiums. We can help you avoid, nasty cyber attack, fallout. There's so many different ways that these educational and security talking points can really make a difference. But it all starts with having the conversation. If you don't have that conversation with your customers, somebody else is. And that's not a good thing. Those are my thoughts. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.